fellowship with Christ, and until we come to comprehend that, we'll never see the effects of this be us trying to produce something that cannot possibly be produced. Because you can't produce a divine relationship. You have to come to that relationship. You have to know that. See? That has to be worked in you by the Spirit, but that relationship has many effects that you don't produce. The relationship produces them. The cause. Salvation is a divine cause that has connected with it many unspeakable effects. We preach the effects. Let's preach the effects. See, Israel, they just hung up on effects. Oh, look what happened. We're out of Egypt. Now, how long did that satisfy Israel? 3 days? 3 days? And they were all cussing Moses and cussing God and wanting to go back to Egypt because they were thirsty and didn't have any water to drink. They never got a hold of the cause. You know that. The Bible says that. Moses told them that in Deuteronomy. You've always been a stiff-necked, hard-hearted, stupid people. Except by grace, God would have just wiped you off the face of the earth. But to have a testimony of His Son, He has kept you and put you under the law and been long-suffering with you. But God will not always be long-suffering with you. You read this in the Bible. They never saw the cause. They just saw the effect. And the reality is that when I'm born again, there are tremendous effects. The joy of the Lord comes in and I am delivered from sin. And there's a lot of effects. But the downside of that is that in most cases, the believer never hears the cause. They just hear somebody focus upon the effects, and so they try to maintain the effects and try to make the effect work and try to keep the feeling that they have then. And it won't work because they never embrace the cause. They never come to realize all of this is the effect of a divine relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not the effect of just having sins forgiven. This is the effect of the divine person of Christ actually living in me. What I am experiencing now is an effect of having Christ as my very life. Not just being forgiven of sin. Christ is my very life. But nobody tells them that. They're told, your sins are forgiven, one day you're going to go to heaven. So you can live on the effect for a while, you know, because you're happy. But then after a while, how long can you live on the fact that my sins are forgiven? Okay, now what? Now what? Is there a purpose for that? And what is the cause of that? And the cause is Christ in you. Because there's the cause. The purpose of God is found in His Son. God's purpose is bound up in His Son. And in knowing that Son, we begin to know the purpose of God. That God wasn't just after... God's purpose was not that man sinned, and God's purpose was certainly not found in getting man out of sin. God's purpose was established in Him before there even was a man. And though man was created for the purpose of God, man was never himself the purpose of God. He was created for the purpose of God. We come to find the purpose of God in Christ. But the purpose of God is more than getting out of sin. The purpose of God is found by being in Christ. And you're even going to come and say that we're going to find that the purpose of God is not just being in Christ, but we're in Christ according to the purpose of God. God has a purpose for having us in Christ. It has to do with a predestined adoption. The word adoption means the placement of the Son. The placement of the Son, we read in the Bible and we see it in Paul's teachings, is when Christ is revealed in you. We come face to face with the purpose of God, the divine, eternal plan, purpose, the divine heartbeat, the divine desire of God. We come face to face with it when Christ is revealed in us. Our soul comes face to face with the purpose of God when the Son of God is revealed in us by the Holy Spirit. And we begin to know Him. We begin to know Him. We begin to grow up in Him. Growing up in Christ is growing up in purpose. Growing up in Christ is growing up in purpose. Knowing Christ is knowing purpose. Being filled with the knowledge of Christ is being filled with the purpose of God. It transforms our soul. We comprehend salvation as more than getting out. Salvation is a divine union with God through the Son. Salvation is dwelling in the Father's house. Salvation is much more than getting out. So you see? You see how salvation is preached and yet it falls short of purpose. We preach salvation, but it falls short. Salvation. Your sins are forgiven. Okay, fine. And what? Well, and nothing. But one day. What do you mean one day? I mean to say one day. One day when you die. Yeah, but aren't we dead with Him now? What's the cross? Have we not died with Him? Is He not the resurrection and the life? Is that one day or now in Christ Jesus? Is that part of the eternal plan of God by which we are brought to purpose? Now in Christ Jesus. So this is what we're talking about. And this is what, you know, what I'm being challenged of the Lord in some little way. This is what I'm just simply challenging your heart. If you and I really come to realize that there is a purpose, God has a plan and a purpose that is beyond my needs and your needs that are related to sin. That those needs are met, but they're met according to a purpose that is greater than them. And that having sins forgiven, simply releases us unto purpose. It doesn't fulfill purpose. See? Entering in through the door, entering into Christ, I'm entering in to purpose. But you see in the type and shadow of Israel that they had a walk, you know, they began on the road to realizing purpose. But not too many of them walked, did they? I mean, they just barely got across the Red Sea and they thought purpose is getting out of Egypt. But God said, no, purpose was never getting out of Egypt. Purpose was always being in relationship with me, entering into a relationship with me. They got hungry and cussed God. And we're going to go back to Egypt. And so the Lord dealt with them mercifully, and their journey began again. Time and time again, they'd stop. Time and time again, God would demonstrate grace, mercy, and love. Why? Because He wanted to demonstrate His purpose in a people, though they were hard-necked, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. Finally, because they wouldn't walk in faith, He put them under the law. Paul said that. Paul said, what's the law all about? The law was given because of transgression. The law was given because you wouldn't obey God. Kept under the law until faith should come. Kept under the law until the seed who was truly promised of God should come. The law didn't make you anything greater in God's sight. He put you under the law because you wouldn't obey Him. He put you under the law so that He could demonstrate in you His grace, His mercy, and His eternal plan and purpose that was coming in Christ and that now has come in Christ. That was what Paul preached. Urging the Jews to come to Christ. that the whole law that they served had that purpose, to bring them unto Christ, not to be a substitute for Christ, but they wouldn't do it. But, hon, you look at the history, all through the history, and you'll find that God was leading them in. Into the house, into the Red Sea, over the Jordan, but into Canaan. In the person of their high priest, they were led into the tabernacle, into the holy place, once a year, into the Holy of Holies. That's a type and shadow of where Christ has taken us. Into the very presence of God. And in doing that, Christ has declared Himself as being the I Am of everything that is in type and shadow. God used a door as a type. Christ says, I am the door. God used a lamb as the type. I am the lamb. God used the blood as a type. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. What do you say it? I am the blood. Brings them into the Red Sea. As many, one comes out. Out of Egypt have I called my son. I and my Father are one. Brings them through passing over the Jordan. They've come through death. They've come through burial. Now by resurrection, Jesus stands and says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Everything that was given in type and shadow in order to bring them from the beginning of their journey to the end of their journey, which was a type of Christ who is the beginning and the end. Everything. We have a list here, and I don't have them even looked up, but they're a list in the Old Covenant of Jehovah, names of Jehovah. Jehovah, and then with the various, I don't know whether you call them adjectives or not, but Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nis, Shalom, Jehovah Tiskanu is one I was trying to pronounce, and it's on down. All of these are simply Old Covenant I Am's. Now, I didn't relate every one of them to the I Am to Christ, and I realized that the other day driving along. They're Old Covenant I Am's. They're what God was to get Israel from the beginning to the end. You understand? The beginning of God was the Lamb. The end of God for Israel was Solomon the king. Christ is both the Lamb of God, but the Lamb of God is the king. He sits upon the throne and He rules. Christ is both the priest and the king. He is the I Am that I Am. See? The I Am that I Am. He fulfills everything. Why? Because He is also the beginning and the end. He is not the type and shadow of it as it was given to Israel. He is the reality of it. He is the beginning of God's plan that was formed and purposed from before the foundation of the world. He is the end, the completion. When we say end, we don't mean the cessation of it. The goal, the purpose, the completion. Because there is no end of Christ in the way that many think of an end, the cessation. There is no end to Him. See? But He is the perfection. End can certainly mean the perfection. The fulfillment of the goal that is set out before. Now we know in the type and shadow, again I'm going to tell you, it started with Moses, or actually started with the Lamb, the blood. And their journey ended when Solomon built the temple and established the kingdom. Basically, Israel, that stopped. That was the whole testimony right there. After Solomon, they went downhill. Went into captivity, recovered, come back, tried to rebuild the temple, didn't do a very good job of it. The prophet spoke to him and said, don't worry about it. There's a temple coming whose glory is a whole lot greater than this anyway. The prophets begin to talk about the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the coming of the vision of God. Yeah, all that came about at that time. And then Christ came. And in Him, who is the beginning and the end, we find all of the I ams that relate to you and I. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. To what? To Himself. To Himself. To the one who says, I am beginning, I am end. I am Alpha, I am Omega. I am author, I am finisher. You could never come to me except I provided myself as a way. So I am that door with blood on it. I died. That you may enter in by my death unto life. And find as Paul did, not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Okay? I am the way to my Father's house. Walk in it, that you may walk in me and grow up in me in all things. Learn in me, for I am the truth. I am the truth, who is no lie, in whom there is neither darkness nor shadow of turning. I am the truth, that you may know me, and that you may know my Father, for to know me is to know my Father. I am the Word. I am the truth, and I am the life. See? All of that is to give us entrance unto Him. And again I'm saying to you, who is He? Who is He? He is the beginning and the end. He is that whether I ever accept Him or not. He is that from before the foundation of the world. He is that before the world was created or man was ever made of dirt and breathed into as a soul. He was determined to be the beginning and the end. And on that basis, according to that, He provided Himself. See, reason I'm saying this over and over again for you. He didn't simply provide a way. He provided Himself the way. Therefore, He can say, I am the way. You see that? It come to me. I wrote it down somewhere. I don't know whether I could turn to it right now or not. I'm not for sure even which notebook. Here it is. When the I am claims an adjective unto Himself, we must understand that the adjective is not defining Him. It's not giving Him definition or dimension. Rather, He is defining or giving definition and dimension to the adjective. I'm using the term adjective there. And what I mean by that is what I've said several times in these meetings. When He says, I am the door does not give Him definition nor dimension. When He claims that, says, my God, hon, brings it into Himself. He claims it. I am the door. That door's not describing him. He's describing the door. That door's not giving him dimension. He is giving dimension to that door. My God, have mercy. Do you hear what I'm saying? To call him king is not ennobling him. It is ennobling the term king. Not so with mere men. To make a man a king, that title brings nobility to him, ennobles him. Not so the Son of God. To call him king simply makes the word king mean something. Why? Because he's the I am that I am. And all of those definitive terms fit into the word that. They add nothing to him. He truly defines what a king is. He truly defines what high priest is. He truly defines what door is. Without him, there is no actual definition to door. That's true. He gives it definition. And every other term. It is the same for any word that is so linked with him. And I list some. As, door, way, truth, life, resurrection, king, lamb, priest, or, righteousness, light, rest, redemption, holiness. Use what words you will. It adds nothing to him. He gives substance to everything that he takes unto himself. There are words that he will not take unto himself. In him is no darkness. In him is no shadow of turning. In him is no lie. In him is no evil thought. There are words he will not take unto himself. That means those things have no substance. They exist only because substance does not exist. Death only exists in the absence of life. There is no substance to death. It is the absence of substance. Darkness only exists in the absence of light. There is no substance to darkness. Darkness is the absence of substance. And who gives everything substance? Come on, honey. Don't you know by now? It's him. If it has substance, Christ is the substance of it. My Lord and my God. See? What I'm telling you is the truth. What I'm telling you is something that the Holy Spirit seeks to show us. He seeks to bring us to purpose by bringing us to Christ. Not just to Christ in repentance and new birth, that, yes, bring us to know Christ, to grow up into Christ. I come forth as a newborn babe. I come forth as one birthed into the kingdom of God, born again. And the thing that should be presented to me by those who are called instructors, the thing that should be presented to me is now, why? Are you here? Why are you in Christ? I should be presented with purpose. I shouldn't be told, read your Bible. I should be told why. Somebody should point me to purpose. Why? The purpose. That's what I'm talking to you guys about. Salvation with purpose, because there is certainly a purpose to our salvation. And yet, so many believers are in their hearts and their comprehension falling far short of purpose, so we just come up with one. Because, you know, man is just built that way. Man is created of God as a soul, and purpose is an element, is something that the soul craves for and will seek to find. Purpose. You know. You all know that. You all know that. You all know that if you just think about it, in most every endeavor or every relationship that you've ever involved yourself in, sooner or later, after the initial effects, you start looking around for why. What's it all about? What's the purpose of this? Whatever relationship, whatever endeavor. And I'm just saying that even in the relationship, physical relationships, family relationship, and endeavors, if you're trying to find purpose in those things, you're going to run short. Because even those things must come to find their purpose in Christ. Why? Because God doesn't have purposes. He has a purpose. And everything must come to find its reason to exist in that purpose. Or, in fact, sweetheart, it has no real reason to exist. You see, look at this. Now, I'm going to say something hard. Listen to this. Man himself was created of God, not as God's purpose, but for God's purpose. God had a purpose in creating man, and man wasn't it. He made man for a purpose. And given the time, I can show you in the Scripture. Most of you accept it readily, but you can see it in the Scripture. That man's purpose comes to be found only through divine union with Christ. Because without Christ, that man, created of God, has no life. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Who? Everybody. Anybody. You have no life in you. See, he wasn't talking about at that point, at that time when he said that. He was not just referencing forgiveness of sins. He was talking about you have no life in you. I want you to understand, hon, that way back in the type and shadow, when Israel entered in through that door, that blood door, and sat down in there and ate every bite of that lamb, roasted with fire, and ate it all, was a type of what the Lord just said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. What was the issue there? The issue was, I'm telling you, the issue was not forgiveness of sins. The issue was living. The issue was not dying. The issue was life. Death was going on outside. Through death, they escaped death. The death of the Lamb. By dying with the Lamb, by identifying with His death, they lived. That was a type and shadow. The reality of it comes in Christ. Except you eat my flesh, drink my blood. You have no life in you. Yes, I know salvation has to do with our sins being forgiven, but the whole point of it is life. You have no life in you. So man was created of God for life. Not animal life. Not created life. Spirit life. Spirit life. Not simply soul life. Spirit life. For there's where purpose is found. There's where purpose is realized. And that life is Christ. My point is this. If then man himself can only find purpose in Christ. What is it that man can possibly involve himself in whose purpose is not also found in Christ? If man himself can only find his purpose for existing in Christ, can only find why God actually created man. What is his purpose? What? You understand what I'm saying? If man can only find his purpose in Christ, what is it that man can do that has purpose other than Christ? I mean real purpose, lasting purpose. What involvement can he get in? What relationship can he have whose purpose must not also be found in Christ? It doesn't make sense. It's not even good natural reasoning to assume that man, whose purpose can only be found in Christ, can find purpose in anything else under any other circumstances. That it all has to be found in Christ. I remember one time when my son, James, came to me. They'd moved to Arkansas. And he moved to Arkansas, not just to be close to me. That was a great deal of it. But James called me at 4 o'clock one morning from California, Palm Springs, where he was working and part of the staff of the Marriott hotel chain out there. Called me crying and bawling and carrying on and ended up finally speaking in tongues. And the Lord had really, I mean, man, he was having a time of severe conviction and chastening of the Lord. And was telling me, what the Lord was saying, this, that, and the other, and telling me how what the Lord was telling him and what the Spirit of the Lord telling him. And then he asked me the question. He said, "What am I supposed to do?" I said, "What do you mean? What are you supposed to do?" I said, "You do what the Lord has just told you to do." "But how can I do that?" I said, "I'm not worried about how you can do it. I'm telling you what you've asked me. What am I supposed to do? I'm telling you, do what the Lord told you to do. What else can you do?" It involved him making a move. He made the move. First year he made his living picking up rocks, hauling rocks in the back of a one-ton truck. Digging rocks out of the side of a hill and hauling them to the rock yard. That's how that boy made his living. This was a guy that was part of the Marriott chain. His wife, Beverly, took a job at the maid service in the condominiums at Fairfield Bay. He finally ended up with a job of roofing houses. One day he come to me, and I was up on top of my house doing something. He was up there, and I could tell. I know James. I know him like a book. I knew something was wrong. I sat down. I said, "Sit down, sweetheart, and tell me what's wrong." He just started bawling and crying, just sobbing. I let him finish. He said, "Dad, I cannot believe that God brought me all the way to Arkansas, that his purpose, that's what, I cannot believe that the purpose of God in bringing me to Arkansas was to roof houses." He said, "I hate it." And I let him finish again, and I said, "Sweetheart, God has no purpose at all in you roofing houses." I said, "You need to understand the difference between provision and purpose. Purpose is found in Christ. Provision is found in whatever your hand finds to do. And one always serves the other. Provision always serves purpose. Purpose is eternal. Provision is temporal and may change from time to time to time to time. Purpose never does. Change that boy's whole life. Change his whole outlook. He come the next day. He was happy. He slapped me on the back. He hugged me. Did he hurt me? He said, this is the best day I've had since I've moved to Arkansas. He said, every time I put a shingle down, I said, thank God this is not purpose. This is provision. And I said, you'll find purpose, son. I said, the point is you'll never cease to find it because there's no end to Christ. You'll find purpose. And I said, probably, knowing you, you'll find better provision. But you'll never find better purpose than in Him. Well, that's true. And it's true on both accounts, you know. But I warned him then. I said, however, don't you ever think that provision is purpose. Don't ever make that mistake. Don't ever seek purpose in making money. Don't ever seek purpose in having things. Don't ever seek purpose there, son. And I said, furthermore, don't ever seek purpose in doing something for God. Purpose is always found in Christ. Only in Christ is purpose found. And everything else has to be an effect of that. Or it's a mistake, James. See, that seems to be a simple little thing, but it's what tripped the whole Israelites up. They had provision in the wilderness, and they would not enter in type and shadow to purpose, because Canaan represented purpose. Not in the natural, but Canaan represented purpose. What God wanted manifested in the earth, His Son, His kingdom, finally in Solomon. And Israel would not go there. They were eating manna every day. Their clothes wasn't wearing out. They had sheep and oxen, you know. They had free rent. They were nomads. You understand what I'm saying? Hun, those people didn't starve to death. They weren't naked when they were buried either. They died because they wouldn't enter into purpose. Now, God's purpose also has provision. There was provision in Canaan, but Canaan wasn't about provision. Canaan was about purpose. And you and I finally are going to have to come to find salvation is not about provision, though there's provision connected to it for us. Our sins are forgiven. There is blessing. There is all of that. But salvation is not about provision. Salvation is about purpose. God having His purpose in His people. And His purpose is centered in His Son. And you and I come face to face with purpose when we come face to face with the Son. Through God revealing His Son, we come face to face with why I'm in Christ, why Christ is in me. And we begin to grow in that. And it begins to transform our whole soul, our whole thinking, our whole comprehension of salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. All right, that's enough tonight.